Praise the Lord. I want to talk about don't get caught in Satan's trap. And you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. It seems that in today's society, people are easily offended. They get easily upset if somebody doesn't agree with them. And undoubtedly, we're going to have those kind of opportunities come our way. Situations and so on that we could get upset and offended. But if you're going to walk with God, you can't let the spirit of the world with offense get in you. I want to encourage everybody to be slow to get upset. Practice love. And so I'm going to talk about offense tonight. Don't get caught in Satan's trap. Now, some of you remember, two or three years ago or longer, I did several messages on being offended. And there's a book out there, Avoiding the Trap of Being Offended. If you want to get some more of this is just a little bit about being offended, but it's out there. How many of you here when I did that session? Yeah. In Luke 17:1, he says, "Then he said to the disciples, 'It's impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come.'" It's impossible that no offense comes, he said. Now, this verse indicates that it's inevitable that offenses and, you might say, situations, snares, traps, will come. But, there are a lot of people that are caught up in Satan's trap of offense. Now, this word offense here in Luke 17:1 is the Greek word scandalon. And it refers to the movable stick or trigger of a trap. Any person or thing by which is drawn into error. That's from Thayer's Greek Lexicon. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read. Okay. It's time to wake up and realize that we're living in a world where everybody gets offended over everything. You can't hardly say anything without somebody getting offended. Hello. But you see, that is the enemy's way of getting everybody all against one another, also getting Christians out of walking in love. Offenses are everywhere, but we realize that God can help us to live free from it. Now, we got to be ready, or maybe I should say, we have to be ready to realize that offense is going to come our way. We can't live just hoping that offense won't come our way, because he already said to us that they're coming. Isn't that what he said there? You can't spend your life trying to avoid somebody that's going to offend you. But the good news is God made us a way that we can deal with it. Now, how does offense come? They usually come through an insult, a verbal attack, some divisive rhetoric, broken relationships, and betrayal. And there'd be some more we could put in there. But actually, most of the offense that comes to us is through the words that people speak to us. According to James, in James 3, he says that the tongue is an unruly member. James 3:2. We all make mistakes. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. We all make mistakes, but those who control their tongue can also control themselves in every other area. We can make a large horse turn around to go where we want to go by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn where the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. The words that people speak have set more fires than any arsonist or anybody else. You know, have you ever noticed that when somebody says something that offends somebody, then they begin to talk about it and it spreads like wildfire? Sometimes it's spoken because somebody else got offended. You weren't the one that got offended, but they got offended, so now you pick it up. You know, people often repeat their offense, hoping everybody else will pick up on it. You know, offenses are inevitable, okay? I want to say this, I want you to get this. Offenses is inevitable. That's what God said. We read it there in Luke, right? But being offended is a choice you make. Offenses are going to come. But you make a choice to whether you're going to be offended or not. It's up to you. See, and the question is, are you caught in the trap of offense? Somebody said, well, I don't know. Well, how can you tell? Okay. You know, have you ever seen these signs that say you may be a hillbilly if, or you may be this if? Oh, do y'all know what a Hill William is? It's just a sophisticated way of saying hillbilly. And that has nothing to do with anything. But I've got everybody's attention. Okay? You may be caught up in offense if you're continually hurt, angry, and jealous of someone. If you're resentful, envious, and hateful toward someone continually, and if you're around and their name gets mentioned, or if you hear they got blessed and if you're slandering or continually speaking negative things about somebody, you may be in offense. If you're focused on a wrong that's been done to you and you don't care what happens to the person that did it, you know, all of those are things that you might check up on to see. And if any of them are close to you, you're getting close to offense, or if you've in it. Now, you may be in offense if you're running with a group of people that are offended people. I've noticed that offended people don't run alone, they run in groups. Some people get offended when someone does something toward them. Now, here is the worst one. Actually, when I did that book, this is the one the Lord said is the worst one. And that is when somebody tells you something that somebody did to them, and then you take up that offense. Example, here's how it works, okay? Person A did something against person B. Now, person C hears about it and starts speaking against person A, even though it had nothing to do with person C. The Lord said that's, when I did that book, and I think I put it in that book, the Lord said that's the worst kind of offense. And I asked him why, and he said, because many times the person that got offended will get over it, but then that person continues to carry that offense. You can tell when somebody has picked up somebody else's offense. Did you hear what so-and-so did to so-and-so? I tell you what, I'm going to mark that person and I'm going to tell everybody about it. I'm not going to let them get away with it. Come on now. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good right now. This sermon is not going to be one that's probably, or talk, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to be one that's going to get you shouting. But it will be one that can help you in life if you'll listen. How many understand what I'm saying to you? All right. You know, you may think you can hang around with offended people and it won't bother you. You'll pick it up too. Now, do you realize that we get stuck where we're at when we hold offenses? Have you ever met someone that told you what somebody did to them, and then you hadn't seen them for a long period of time, and you see them and you start talking, and it 5 minutes didn't go by, and they start telling you the same story again? Anybody ever been there? See, these people have gotten stuck. They haven't made any progress with God. They haven't received any blessings. They're stuck. Many people don't realize that they're offended, and that has caused them to be stuck in life. They wonder why in the world nothing seems to be going right. You know, you can hold on to an offense or you can let it go. Now, some people's makeup is just easier for them to do that than it is other people's personalities. I don't know why that is. But if we just look in the Word of God, we can see that we are not supposed to hold grudges, unforgiveness, and so forth. That's offense, okay? Now, it said, I don't know whether this is true or not, this is just something I read one time, that they drill a hole in a coconut and they use it to trap a monkey with, and they'll put something inside of that coconut, and the coconut's hooked onto the tree, and the hole is just large enough that the monkey can get their hand and arm in there. But once they close around the object, they can't pull it out unless they let the object go. And they say that the hunters will get the monkey because the monkey will not let go. He'd rather be caught than to turn loose of that possession. There are some people like that. They have held on to their offense for years and years and years and years and years. And you know what? It hasn't hurt the person that did the offense in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But it has kept that person that's holding the offense from moving on, and they're stuck. You know. You have to refuse to let go of what someone did to you. If you don't, you won't move any further. See, sometimes when people get to this point, they get to the point that they're not going to let it go because they mistreated me, and they're going to pay for it. You know, many people hang on to offense so long that it becomes normal for them. And when that happens, every little thing offends them. You can't hardly say hi to them without them to get offended. Have you ever been around some people and you're talking and you just made a statement and they got offended at it and you can't figure out why because it had nothing to do with anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And they got offended? You know what? They're stuck. Somebody offended them sometime or another and they stuck there because they refused to let it go. Now everything and everybody that even halfway looks at them sideways, they get offended at. I see a lot of y'all smiling because y'all either been there or you know some people that's been there. And most of us hadn't been there. We just knew somebody. Now, if I got any preachers here, and I got staff here, but if I got any other preachers, there's always somebody coming to you and saying, "Now, could you help me? I've got a friend that has such and such a problem." Yeah, Listen, sooner or later, somebody is going to do something or say something that's going to upset you and you can get offended. Before you go down that road, you need to ask yourself a question. Do I want to get stuck here? Are these the people I want to be stuck with? Do I want to get stuck at this level of blessing with God and not receive any more? Remember, holding offense will cause you harm and not them. Because they have to be responsible for themselves. Now, John Mason, he lived right here in Broken Arrow. Or he did. I haven't seen him in a while, but I guess he's still around here. He's written a lot of good books on life. In his book, Let Go of Whatever Makes You Stop, he says, living a life of unforgiveness is like leaving the parking brake on your car when you drive. It slows you down, and eventually will cause a fire if you're not careful. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, most all y'all know my grandson, Cameron, he drives sprint cars. And they're going around a track, and you'll see some of those guys, that rotor on their back hub, back there on that, because it's on the inside of that axle, because there's no, it's all one gear one way. It's not like a regular differential. It'll start going red hot. I mean, it'll grow in red in the dark as it's going down. And then you'll see when they come into the corner, they're holding the brake the whole time. Then sparks start coming off of it. If they don't let off, pretty soon they're going to get a black flag and may tell them to stop because that's dangerous. Those sparks coming off of there, there's fuel and oil. Hello. In fact, that rotor is right under the fuel cell. That's not good. But you see, that's the way it is with us. When we hold on to grudges and unforgiveness from offense. See, grudges and unforgiveness and all that all comes from offense. Somebody offended you. You know, we have to realize that staying offended will cost you much more than it will the person that offended you. In fact, staying offended can bankrupt you spiritually. It can hinder you in your ability to be creative and perform. It can hinder your progress and opportunities with God and with man. You know, once again, Mason said, John said, and you're born to be an original, don't die a copy. You can't get ahead when you're trying to get even. Being offended is a strategy of Satan to get you out of the will of God. You know, offense and taking and being offended, if you continue, if you don't let it go, you're going to pay a higher price than you want. You're going to experience suffering that you don't need to go through. You're going to travel a road that you really don't want to go down. And you're going to end up where you didn't want to go. See, because you get stuck. You get stuck in life. That's where you're at. Everything offends you. I've been around people like that. You know, now, what do we do with these people that offend us? Well, Luke 17, we go on down there. Remember, we started out there in Luke 17, 1, but we go on down 17, 3 and 4 says, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Forgiveness is the way of escape from the trap of being offended. When somebody does something to you and you're hurt, or somebody mistreats you, and if they do it repeatedly and you don't feel like forgiving, you got to remember, being mistreated and hurt doesn't give you the license to be offended. Two wrongs don't make a right. We know that. We've heard that. See, we make a decision to forgive or not to forgive when we've been offended. Now somebody said, well, what if they don't come and ask forgiveness? Well, that's their problem. I'm going to forgive them and go on down the road because that's their problem. Now, if they do come and ask for forgiveness, some people, they've been offended and they say, I refuse, I won't forgive you. No. Or they come out with this. Okay, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget about it. They're still holding on to the offense. Hello. You know, forgiveness will keep offenses from building up in your life. You know, there is cookware that says it's nonstick. And you can cook the food in it. It doesn't stick to the pan, the food, and it's designed to be easier to cook in and to clean. Well, God has designed a non-stick coating to keep offense off of you. It's called forgiveness. With forgiveness, you'll make faster progress. With forgiveness, you'll stay clean. With forgiveness, you can escape Satan's trap of being offended. You know, people used to, we had my dad's memorial service right here in this auditorium back in September of 2003. And you know, everybody always called that. He didn't like the title. They called him the modern day father of faith. He said that he didn't like that title. And then some people talked about his prayer life. But everybody that talked at the memorial service talked more about his love walk. And you know, he just didn't let nothing bother him. He refused to hold unforgiveness and grudges against anybody. You know, people, they said a lot of unkind things about him, a lot of hurtful things, and sometimes said it to his face. His fellow ministers would criticize him, but he just kept walking in love and faith. Didn't let any of things affect it. Now, when I got to be, 17, 18 years old, I said, "Dad, this is nonsense." And then especially then after I was older in my 20s actually I'd come to work for him, I guess I was about 30 by then. And all these people saying all these things, I said, "Dad, all these people that are talking about us," of course I was involved by that time, I said, "Let's rent a stadium. And we're going to divide it in half. And we're going to give that half to them. And they get all the people that's been saved, healed, filled with the Spirit, blessed through their ministry over there. And we'll put everybody that's been saved, healed, blessed, filled with the Spirit, so forth, they'll be on this side." I said, "No, son, we can't do that." And then I said, "Oh, yeah, you're right. I just got out of love for a moment there and started to get into offense." See, how you respond to offense will determine your future with God. And that's all up to you. That's all up to you. You know, people say to me all the time, I've had people come up and say, "You remember so-and-so? I said so-and-so." No, I don't remember it. There's my wife. She'll tell you. And they start telling me about it. I say, "Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that." Because I refuse to hold anything against anybody. Now, she won't get mad at me, but she had to learn to do that because that's not her personality, I guess. I don't know what is her personality, but she just never was taught, really. And she said, "How do you do that?" Said, "It hurts me when people do that." I said, "You just forget it. You just go on. It's their problem, not yours." See, that you got to get to the point that you don't let it bother you. Because I can tell you right now, somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to do something that will cause you to get upset. They are. You might as well get ready for it. But you know what we got to do? We have to make up our mind and decide right now, while nobody has offended you, that it doesn't matter. You're going to forgive them. See, if you get out ahead of the thing. You decide right now to forgive those that have done you wrong, if they have, or those that will do you wrong. You have to just learn to say, "Hey, I'm not going to let it bother me." And you know, one of the best ways to learn to get, that will help you to get out of offense is to pray for them and ask God to bless them. In fact, that's what he says there. And he says, "Pray for those that have despitefully used you." Right? And if you hear of somebody that has offended you and done you wrong and they've got a blessing, just rejoice. I didn't say it would be easy. I said, do it. Hello. You know, you can either choose to let it bother you. Somebody came to me, hadn't been very long ago, and said, do you know what it says on the internet about you? I said, not really. I hadn't even looked at it. Well, you ought to go look. I said, no, I don't need to look at it. I don't care. I'm doing what God told me to do, and I'm not going to let the enemy bring something into me that will cause me to not be, get stuck and not be able to continue to do what God told me to do. I said, first of all, from what some have told me, half of it is untruth anyway. It's somebody surmising. You know, it's funny how people will take, you preach this message and they take one statement out of this message, and you preach a message over here and they take one statement out of that, and you preach another message, and they, about four or five messages, and they take one statement out of each one and put them together and say, that's what you believe. I'm serious. Lord bless them. Really? Lord bless them. Bless their ignorance. Help them, Lord. See, you got to get to the point that you do not let it bother you. And like I said, it may not be that easy. But if you'll do it, you'll find that all of a sudden, you're not getting depressed and upset as much. Because you're not falling for the trap. Father, I just talked to these people a few minutes tonight about something that is so real. In the world we live in, there are people who offend us all the time. But it's up to us whether we live in offense or whether we live and walk in love and walk in the Word of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I look over here and I see somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. Bolo. And Kathy, yeah. Stand up, guys. These guys are Rhema grads from, I don't know what year it was now. It's a long time ago. Huh? 94. And they live up in Idaho and Nevada and that area, and they work with the cowboys and the cow camps and so forth and so on. They got a tremendous ministry. Hey, let me tell you what. You can't go minister to them cowboys. They don't listen at you. But they listen to Bo, because he can shoe their horses, he can ride their broncs, and so forth and so on. One of the greatest testimonies I know, he's in one cow camp, and a horse broke its leg. And the testimony is, and he was trying to get those guys saved, and he prayed for the horse. Normally they shoot him. He said, well, wait till in the morning. He prayed for the horse. The next morning, that horse is up running around. And some people got saved, didn't it? Isn't that true? Bo, is that a true story? Wave your hand if that's a true story. Good to see you guys. God bless y'all. Man, oh man. In fact, they were responsible for getting us a couple of the horses that we used to have down at the ranch. We don't have any of them down there anymore. But they got us a couple of... Some of y'all remember that. The two Belgians that pulled the wagon. Anybody here, y'all remember those two horses that pulled the wagon? Yeah, they were responsible for getting those for us. Man, it's so good to see you guys. Glad to have y'all, man. That's great. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you can't get involved with what I was talking about. But if you want to get out of your rut, then you can accept Christ as your Savior. Or if you're here and you know you're not what you're supposed to be with God, you need to rededicate yourself. As we dismiss, the ladies are here, the men are over here. You come down to the front, they'll pray with you, and I guarantee you, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, You want somebody to agree with you about a job. You want somebody to pray with you about something. It doesn't make any difference. If they come down here, they'll pray with you, okay? Praise the Lord. Everybody stand up. Make this confession. I refuse to let offense take root in my life. I refuse to fall into Satan's trap. I will walk with God in the favor of God. I will forgive and bless those that come against me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Hey, connection team, if we have first-time guests, go get them. I don't think we had any. Praise the Lord. Hey, remember all the announcements? Remember we need a bunch of candy? Okay? Sunday morning right here, come believing, come expecting. And you see that we didn't get the paint in, as you can see. You know, we're in the mount. For you that don't know, we're restoring this whole auditorium, new carpet, new pews, painting and everything. The manufacturer, that's a special kind of paint, so that when it falls, it doesn't dry, it just turns into powder, and then you just sweep it up. That way it doesn't ruin anything. It's a special kind of paint. I think the last report is that it should be here on Monday. So we'll get started again. As you can see, they run out. And so we'll be doing a lot more, all right? Shake hands with somebody and say, I refuse to be offended. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. Remember all the announcements.